I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Toby.
And this is the Whispering Woods podcast. This episode is all about
mannequin people.
Yes, we've got mannequin people. Okay, this episode, what I've done is just bunched a load of stories together in no particular order. Some of them are retellings, some of them aren't. I've done a short introduction followed by a story, and then I've got two more chunks of mannequin type stories. Okay?
Yeah.
If you'd like to support the podcast, you can do so by visiting patreon.com/thewhisperingwords. Right, we'll get straight into it because we're a bit late recording today. This is like Sunday night at 9 o'clock. So we are in a little bit of a rush.
Yeah.
Do you know anything about mannequin people?
Well, yeah, I know about like games that I've played in that, and there's like mannequins that like, you know, like haunt you and like,
right, okay,
but I can't remember what it's called, but there is games like that as well.
Okay.
And then Alton Towers, Daz Games, he had a game room or a scare room, and there was like mannequins there as well.
Okay, so it's quite
big, he's like, he loves his like horror and that.
Okay, are you ready for the introduction?
Yes, I am.
The urban legend of the mannequin people in South Korea is a compelling story that originated between 2004 and 2016. The legend describes humanoid figures known as mannequin humans, which bear an unsettling resemblance to living retail mannequins. These entities have been reported in various locations, including Seoul's Itaewon area and the Everland theme park in Yongin. The mannequin people are characterized by their shiny, plastic-like skin, which may appear stark white or slightly yellowed. Their eyes are entirely black, lacking distinguishable pupils or whites, and their faces are blank and expressionless. They may be dressed in various types of clothing, such as white tank tops with shorts, a blue shirt over a long-sleeved t-shirt with black trousers, or even in soft factory clothes or shabby clothing in disrepair. Witnesses have described their movements as disjointed and artificial, with a peculiar gait where the legs move but the upper body remains static. Some have observed these figures driving cars, their glossy skin reflecting the lights, while others have seen them standing silently among crowds or frozen in place at crossings. Their mechanical movements and lack of human-like expressions contribute to the uncanny valley effect, eliciting feelings of revulsion and eeriness. The legend may symbolize the alienation and dehumanization experienced in a rapidly modernizing society, reflecting societal concerns about losing human connection amidst technological advancement. Alternatively, the stories could be attributed to overactive imaginations or optical illusions, particularly in low-light conditions. Or they could be true. John Lawson House. Constructed in the mid-19th century, the John Lawson House, nestled in the serene village of New Hamburg near Wappingers Falls, New York, gained notoriety for its porch-dwelling mannequins. Approximately 80 miles from the hustle of New York City, this historic building, over 150 years old, became the centre of some curious activity. The residence was known for its full-sized, silent figures that would sporadically grace the porch, sparking rumours of supernatural activity linked to the area's tragic events of the 1800s. Over 10 years, these uncanny figures were observed wearing vintage clothing and wigs. Their stances and outfits would alter without any witnessed human involvement, fueling the local lore with their silence and moving presence. The two tragic events that occurred near the John Lawson House in the 1870s were both harrowing and had a significant impact on the local community. The incidents are as follows. On the cold evening of February the 6th, 1871, a 25-car freight train laden with oil was travelling southbound from Albany towards New Hamburg on the Hudson River Railroad line. At the same time, a passenger train departed New York City, heading northbound towards Albany. As the freight train passed under a tunnel near New Hamburg, a station switchman noticed a broken axle under an oil car, causing sparks to fly. The axle eventually disengaged, leading to the car's derailment, which flipped over onto the northbound track just as the passenger train approached. Despite the freight train's engineer stopping the train and attempting to warn the passenger train with red lights, it was too late. Unable to stop in time, the passenger train collided with the derailed oil car, resulting in a massive explosion. The blast occurred approximately 200 feet from the John Lawson House, killing 22 people and leaving several survivors to be pulled from the wreckage and flames. 6 years later, on May 3rd, 1877, another disaster struck the area surrounding the John Lawson house. A fire erupted in an alleyway near the house. Despite efforts to extinguish the blaze, it spread to a store where kerosene was stored, leading to a violent explosion. The fire quickly escalated, destroying seven buildings. The John Lawson house was one of the few buildings to survive the inferno. According to local tales, the mannequins that once occupied the porch of this 19th century home were more than just dolls. They were believed to be vessels for the restless spirits of those who tragically lost their lives in the train crash of 1871. This belief was fueled by the mannequins' positions, which faced towards the site of the accident, as if gazing intently at the place of their untimely deaths. So that is the story that you mentioned a couple of weeks ago, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I had heard it before, and then when I was researching, I thought, ah, that's the one Toby was on about. I knew it was familiar, but I couldn't think what it was. So I thought, right, I'll bang that one in there.
Yeah.
Because it's really interesting, isn't it? Yeah.
That is creepy. Like, living opposite to that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no one lives there. And they, like, change clothes and positions every day, facing towards the train tracks.
Yeah.
It's a bit odd.
It is really creepy. Really creepy.
So imagine, like, looking out your window and just seeing some mannequins getting dressed.
Yeah. There is something about mannequins, isn't there?
Yeah.
There is.
I see them when I punch them. And that's what I'm like in Primark. When you drag me into Primark.
Yep.
And I'm just getting fed up, so I have it out on the mannequins.
Yeah, you have a bit of a row with a mannequin. Yeah. Me, I do a roundhouse kick.
Nah, some of the mannequins are sound alright though.
Yeah, you make friends with a few, do you?
Yeah, only if they're wearing nice clothes.
Oh, okay. They're not wearing... Okay. That's so shallow. Right, are you ready for the next group of stories?
Yes, I am.
In the early hours of a quiet morning, two friends found themselves walking home after a night playing video games. The streets were deserted, and the only sound was the occasional rustle of leaves in the gentle night breeze. The darkness was pervasive, broken only by the dim glow of street lights, casting long shadows on the pavement. As they approached a particularly secluded stretch of road, a dark-coloured jeep emerged from the distance, its headlights cutting through the night. The vehicle slowed as it neared, and the friends could see the silhouettes of four figures inside. The two in the front, one behind the wheel and the other in the passenger seat, had faces that were eerily smooth and featureless, resembling mannequins. The same was true for the two figures in the back seats, who sat motionless, their gaze fixed on the friends. Terrified, the friends realised the figures were not just staring, but appeared to be studying them with an intense curiosity. The friends looked at one another, confirming they saw the same thing, and then ran, not once turning back as they ran all the way home. In the world of retail, where the scanner's beep is the metronome to the day's rhythm, Ethan stands at the checkout of a large supermarket. After not sleeping well, tiredness had taken over. He was just trying to get through his shift. As he mechanically bagged items for a customer, a brief glance downward was all it took for the world to change. Upon looking up, Ethan was met with a terrifying sight. The customers' faces had disappeared, replaced by smooth, blank slates, akin to mannequins' faces. There were no eyes, mouths, or noses, just an empty stare that pierced right through him. Panicked, Ethan blinked rapidly, hoping to erase the bizarre vision. He rubbed his eyes, desperate for the faces to return. And as quickly as the phenomena appeared, it stopped, leaving Ethan terrified. The customer's features rematerialized, each one falling back into place as if nothing had happened. At the age of 2, a young child named Jamie experienced an event that would linger forever in their memory. One night, driven by an inexplicable urge, Jamie felt compelled to open his bedroom door. Perhaps it was the sliver of light sneaking through the gap, or the faint, unusual sounds that beckoned from beyond. He at first attempted to peer beneath the door, but couldn't see anything, as the carpet fitted snugly. But he wouldn't give up. He opened the door just a little and crawled out of the bedroom, peering down the staircase. Moving in and around the house, through the living room and the kitchen, there were figures that he could only describe as mannequins. There were about 5 or 6 of them. Their movements were stilted and unnatural, as if watching a movie, but with frames missing. They possessed a really bizarre body language, pausing awkwardly, their limbs jerking in a puppet-like way. They wore long, pale, pinkish-grey cloaks, and they had no hair. They were completely empty, devoid of life. They showed no malice or even awareness of Jamie's presence. They simply continued their procession, leaving Jamie to watch in terror. I was reading through some other people's paranormal experiences and decided that I wanted to share my experience with a mannequin styling head that I had. The house my family lived in at the time was already messed up. We had a lot of problems with stuff being moved or out of place. Our chandelier swinging fairly rapidly like a fan, and our big mouth billy bass that would start singing at random times. This is what really got to me. If it was ghosts or spirits, they were playful, if anything. One Christmas, I was around 6. My parents gave me a Mycene styling head. I eventually destroyed it and all the makeup and product in its hair. And the eyelashes were crazy because I discovered that if I held a hairdryer to its eyes, her lashes would curl. It pretty much looked like Cynthia from Rugrats, but worse. It always sat on my dresser, looking at my bed, which I shared with my little sister. It was fine at first, but the more messed up its face got, the more scared I was. I wouldn't sleep because I'd just be staring at it, scared it might get revenge on me. I faced it away from the bed one day, so I slept better. When I woke up, it was staring at me. I tried again a couple of times, but I always woke up to it staring at me. I wanted to throw it away, but we were poor. So I always appreciated every gift given to me, because I knew how hard it might have been to get it. And throwing away anything gifted to me made me feel guilty. Eventually we moved, but I took the monster doll's head with me. I was having a lot of nightmares, and I thought that it was because of the doll. So I finally threw it away. The following day, I woke up, and guess who's next to my bed? That goddamn styling head. This is when I freaked out and did everything I could to get rid of it. But I was too scared that burning it would make a demon come out of it. After days of nightmares, my dad was going to the dump, so I made him take the messed up doll with him. After that, I had nightmares of the doll returning for revenge and was constantly afraid of any mannequins. Ghost or not, that doll was messed up. I should mention the nightmares. I just had nightmares constantly as a kid. I got crazy insomnia as a little kid because of it, and every time I would sleep, I would get sleep paralysis. All that combined might have been the reason for this, but I don't think so. Right, I know somebody who used to have a couple of those mannequin makeup heads, and it was Auntie Rachel, because she was at the time probably about 16, and she was studying hairdressing for a time. Didn't last very long, but she had two mannequin heads, and what she would do, seriously, because like we were three girls in a house on our own, and the oldest was 18, which was Auntie Becky, and so what she would do to freak callers out was put them up in the window looking right at the front gate so that people would look up and basically get terrified because they were these two heads sat in the window staring at them without moving.
Yeah, that reminds me of people, they're like in the toilets. Mm-hmm. And they have a mannequin head and I like put under the toilet stall.
Is that a thing, is it?
Yeah. I probably kick it straight away.
I think it would just be a reaction anyway, wouldn't it? To like if something came underneath the toilet door or that, yeah. Like when I was at school, you used to have the gaps. Was that the same?
Yeah.
That if you could actually, yeah. We used to lock them and then like sneak under and leave it locked. Kids are just idiots, really, aren't they? Yeah. You know, really? But, you know, it was fun, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Right, are you ready for the next and final lot of stories?
Yes, I am.
While driving late at night, Alex had an encounter that would leave him questioning everything. As he approached a stop sign, a distant figure caught his eye. There was a silhouette that seemed out of place in the stillness of the night. After a routine check of both directions, Alex experienced something terrifying. The figure, which had been a shadow in the distance, was suddenly right beside him. The entity was unlike anything Alex had ever seen. It was entirely black, extremely tall, and possessed a muscular build. He could see the outline, even against the backdrop of the night. Its face had no features, just a blank canvas that seemed to absorb the faint light around it. The figure's sudden closeness was alarming, especially since it had been far away just moments before. It was around 2 a.m. on that rainy, foggy night, and it left Alex questioning himself. Did it really happen? He also began to question his own sanity, but soon realised he was not alone in seeing these strange beings. On a late evening drive along Highway 50, between Lewis, Chaos and Kinsley. An unsettling event unfolded for a couple, Mia and Jake. They were returning home at around 10:45 p.m. The truck was quiet, save for the hum of the engine and the soft breathing of the passengers in the back seat, who were either asleep or lost in their own thoughts. As they drove through the darkness, Mia and Jake were suddenly jolted by a sight that made them cry out in unison. There, standing on the white line of the road, was a man. His stance was peculiar, angled away from the road, dressed in a blue shirt, cargo shorts, and hiking boots. His skin was pale, his frame slim, and his head was bald, smooth, and empty of any features like hair or ears. Jake's brother, who sat in the back, questioned their claim, having missed the sight. The younger brother urged them to turn back, but Mia refused. A glance in the side mirror revealed nothing. The figure had vanished as mysteriously as it had appeared. The couple's attempt to explain what they had witnessed was interrupted by Mia's sister, who, upon waking from her sleep, revealed a chilling coincidence. She'd seen the same faceless man before, wearing the identical outfit, but in a different location and under different circumstances. Her encounter involved an ex-partner, a ranch, and a suitcase being dragged by the mysterious figure. They'd considered offering help, but upon realizing the man's faceless nature, they fled in fear. In the early hours of the morning, at precisely 4:57 a.m. in Canada, a student was deeply immersed in their television series when a sudden, unexplainable impulse drew them to the window. Surrounded by a dense thicket of trees, the campus was usually a peaceful sight. But on this peculiar occasion, four strange figures were making their way toward the campus grounds. These figures were different. They had no discernible facial features, not even hair, just bald, pale heads. Each figure had a distinct physique, but none of them had faces. When one of the figures seemed to notice the student, they all came to an abrupt halt. They quickly retreated from the window. When the student returned to the window a minute later, he found that one figure had vanished, leaving only three, walking off with white plastic bags in hand. Among them, one had a head that was oddly rectangular. The sight was so unsettling that the student wouldn't sleep that night. So I'm standing on the platform of the tube station. It's not too crowded, just the usual suspects, the headphone guy, the lady with the giant tote bag. And then there's this figure. At first glance, I thought it was one of those street performers, you know? The ones painted head to toe, pretending to be statues for some money. But no, this was different. This figure was eerily still, like unnaturally still. Dressed in a sharp suit, it stood out. Not because of the clothing, but because it was too perfect, too mannequin-like. I'm not going to lie, it gave me the creeps. The face was just smooth, featureless, like someone forgot to finish it. And it's not like anyone else noticed, they just walked by, lost in their own worlds. But I couldn't shake off the feeling that something was off. The train comes, and I swear, as I step in, I take one last look at the platform, and the mannequin person is gone, vanished, no trace. I spent the whole ride trying to convince myself it was just a prank or some avant-garde art thing. But hey, who knows?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Now, I think all of those stories were really freaky. But there's something really weird about, like, just them doing human stuff and just walking around with carrier bags.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
I reckon, yeah, that there are all mannequins, but they change clothes in the shops.
Yeah.
They're going to change their clothes.
You reckon they're going nicking? Shoplifting? Nicking clothes?
Yeah.
Good disguise, isn't it? What it could be, another thing I thought of, is like people in morph suits.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing, if you've seen that nowadays, you wouldn't even think, it's just people doing like a mannequin prank.
Yeah, yeah.
But...
but you could walk past these real, like, mannequin, paranormal mannequin people and not realise, because you just think, ugh, it's one of those morph suits.
Yeah, you'll still think they're a bit of an odd job. But...
yeah, but if I saw one, like, on my own, walking home, yeah, for sure.
I think it's the Gimp suit, man.
Yeah. I don't think we'll be seeing the Gimp again.
Yeah.
He went to court, didn't he, and got fined and stuff like that, so... It's not funny, you know, it's funny, it's comical, but if you were, like, if I was a woman on my own and saw the Gimp man crawling towards me, for any of you who don't know, where we live in North Somerset in England, there was a Gimp man, and it was like during lockdown, and he started it up again,
no,
didn't he?
No, it wasn't in lockdown.
Was it not? Was it after?
Because I got chased by him before.
Right.
On the bike, It was late, and I was out on the bike in Nosy with my mate, and like he's in front of me, and we're like stopped on the bike. I'm looking at my phone, and all I hear is just like running footsteps behind me.
Right.
I just shouted, "It's the Gimp suit man!" And we rode off.
You never told me about that.
I don't know. I probably have.
Right, but so yeah, it was a guy dressed up in a full Gimp suit with zip. And what he'd do was basically kind of jump out on people, but he would crawl, though, towards women, fully
attired.
And
he'd just scream and, like, dart towards you.
And really scary, and it took a while for them to actually catch him, didn't it?
Yeah, he's like a farmer or something.
Yeah.
There was a video of him rolling around on the floor, making weird sounds.
Yeah.
And then he stood up, asked for a cigarette, and then he, like, chucked it on the floor.
Yeah, really odd, but obviously mental health issues there, and they did catch him, and he went to court, and he got done for it. So
he got
don't,
put on house arrest.
I don't think we'll be hearing from him again.
Well, that's the end of this episode. I hope you enjoyed, and we'll catch you again soon.
We will indeed. We will catch up with you again on Thursday, or Wednesday, if you're a patron. Take care, everyone.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.